Guitarathon is the greatest guitar sale on earth, and it's happening now. Get massive savings on a huge selection of electric and acoustic guitars, basses, amps, pedals, and other accessories. Save up to $450 on a Gibson Les Paul Studio Deluxe, up to $900 on a Gibson Les Paul Trad Pro 4, or save up to 20% on other select Gibson guitars. Plus, get special financing on select major brands. Don't miss these incredible deals. Available online and in-store, now through November 1st. Guitarathon, only at Guitar Center. Find your sound.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, here we go, back with the Locked On Pistons podcast. My name is Matt Shook, and I'm your host of the podcast. You can check me out on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. This is the podcast for Tuesday, October 10th. And we're coming off of a Monday night victory by the Pistons in their third and final home preseason game of the schedule, a 107-97 victory against the Indiana Pacers, although it was more like the Fort Wayne Mad Ants out there, the G League team for the Pacers, as they sat pretty much all their main players, Miles Turner, Sabonis, Lance Stephenson, Thad Young, Bogdanovich, Oladipo, Glenn Robinson III of Michigan, and were all stars that didn't play, and then Country Day's Edmund Sumner, who played at Xavier and was a second-round pick this year by the Pacers, he didn't play either. Reggie Miller sat out. Rick Smith sat out. Both Davises, Antonio and Dale, sat out. Larry Brown took the game off. There was basically Darren Collison, Al Jefferson, and then a bunch of D-League guys, or maybe end-of-the-bench guys for Nate McMillan's group that were out there tonight. But the Pistons countered by sitting Andre Drummond. He still got the pink eye. Avery Bradley had an ankle sprain, although it was reported that he'd be able to play if this was a regular season game, but just taking it easy on him. And then when Stan Van Gundy saw who all was not playing for Indiana tonight, he also gave DNPs to John Luehr and Tobias Harris, so those guys didn't play as well. So you had a lot of Boban Marjanovic, the big Serbian center, was pretty much the go-to option when he was on the court there for 21 minutes this evening. He had 14 points, a lot of half hooks from 10 feet over Al Jefferson, who Big Al was looking like Small Al next to 7'3" Boban. So a productive game inside for Marjanovic. He shared game-high honors with those 14 with Ish Smith, who came off the bench and played pretty well as well. The Pistons noticeably struggled on defense with Boban out there, though a lot of shots at the rim and in the paint in the first half for Indiana. As they built a really big lead, got it almost up to 20 early on in the second quarter. But the Pistons battled back, got it back down to 10.5, and then had a huge third quarter to take the lead and kind of cruise from there on out as they, they looked like a better team than Indiana. Indiana's not a great team to begin with, though. They're projected to be out of the playoffs after the Paul George trade, but especially with this group that they ran out there tonight at Little Caesars Arena, they weren't going to get the victory there. So the Pistons are 2-1 on the preseason, and like I said, they're all done with the home slate of preseason games. They're going to be in Milwaukee on Friday. I'm sorry, first of all, it's Tuesday night. They're going to be in Toronto, and then Friday night in Milwaukee. Those games will not be on television, but you can catch them on WWJ 950, the flagship station. Tonight's game, and I'm taping this late on Monday night, during, by the way, what a great sports month October is for everyone. I'm out here in Chicago and going nuts over Mitch Trubisky, that two-point conversion play. Nice Cubs win to go up 2-1. And then you had the big Michigan-Michigan State game on Saturday night, which was a tough one for both teams. It was not a great national TV showing for the Big Ten there, but congratulations to the Spartan fans out there. 2 out of 3 from Jim Harbaugh so far, and especially with those two wins coming at the Big House, that's a nice program boost for a program that kind of needed it in East Lansing. And then the Lions fall to Carolina, and Cam Newton played a great game. Lions fall to 3-2. So, a big sports weekend, whatever way you look at it. Got the baseball playoffs going on. across the country as well. So, and you got the game fives coming up. You got the Astros moving on. You're going to have the Yankees taking on the Indians in a game five. So pretty exciting baseball playoffs as well. But for the Pistons, you're going to have those two preseason games. And then they're going to be at home a week from Wednesday. So that's 8 days from when I'm taping. I'm sorry, 9 days from when I'm taping and 8 days from when this podcast runs. The Charlotte Hornets are going to be in downtown Detroit to take on the Pistons in the opener. More on Monday night's game. They trailed big early, but as Damian Wilkins, the 37-year-old former Piston who's trying to crack the NBA with the Pacers, he had a nice game. Al Jefferson had 12 points, and it was nice to have Boban up against a real NBA center with Jefferson playing. He was a star for a couple years there in the league for Minnesota and Charlotte, but he's trying to kind of reclaim his career as he had kind of an off year in the front court for the Pacers last season. Some bad news for the Pistons. Luke Kennard and Henry Ellenson both got the start for Stan Van Gundy, and they both played heavy minutes early on. Defensively, that's not a great look for the Pistons when those two guys are out there together. And really offensively, they didn't do all that much, especially Kennard. I mean, he played most of the first quarter, and you wouldn't even know it. He just wasn't a factor at all. Made a couple of nice shots, including a nice up-and-under for a floater that was nice. Ellenson recovered for a pretty good offensive second half, hitting some shots. But the big one, the big story is going to be the Reggie Jackson effect. He played the first preseason game for him. The Pistons have been going slow in the offseason with him and in training camp. But we're going to talk a lot about Reggie Jackson here in a little bit. Another nice stat for the Pistons was the 10 of 26 three-point shooting. We know that how bad that they were last year and how that led to some of the problems that they had as a team. They made some personnel moves, bringing in Tolliver, bringing in Galloway, bringing in Luke Kennard in the draft and trading for Avery Bradley, all guys who are accomplished from three-point land. It was good to see another good shooting night from the Pistons. Anthony Tolliver and Reggie Bullock each had 3 three-pointers apiece. I thought Anthony Tolliver, and I root for Anthony Tolliver. I know the guy, and he's just the quintessential locker room guy. I've talked to him about some of the charity stuff he does in his hometown of Springfield, Missouri, where I used to live. So I know Anthony a little bit. So I kind of root for him, and so maybe I'm a little biased, but he really stepped up. I thought when the game swung there in the third quarter, it was him and Langston Galloway that were both making some big defensive plays that led to some things, and Tolliver hit some shots, and that's when the Pistons kind of took advantage of the game there and took control. So we're going to talk a lot about Reggie Jackson and a lot about the upcoming slate and how he did and what his presence means for the Pistons going forward this season.
Yes, sir!
So Reggie Jackson made his return to the Pistons starting lineup in Monday's preseason game against the Pacers. He got the start. He scored 14 points in 26 minutes on 6 of 15 shooting, missed all of his three-point attempts, had 6 assists and 3 rebounds for Stan Van Gundy's team. Reggie Jackson's going into his third full season with the Pistons after being a trade deadline acquisition from Oklahoma City 3 years ago. His first full season with the Pistons was the 15-16 season. He had 18.8 points per game and 6.2 assists. And then last year, after missing 30 games, including the first 2 months of the season with the knee tendonitis, he had 14.5 points per game and 5.2 assists. The percentages kind of all went down in that second year as well. His points per the points per possession for him were among the league worst of regular players. And defensively, it was really where it showed the most that he was struggling with that knee. And then his asthma problems that he has, and really contributed to kind of his conditioning being not at tip-top shape. He just looks like he's really struggling for breath out there, even tonight. But if you're looking for some good news and good indications from Reggie Jackson tonight, they were there. He was able to move laterally a little bit with some of the point guards that he was covering. I think he had Corey Joseph for a little while. So a couple of NBA-type guys out there with Darren Collison at the beginning of the game as well. So some guys that aren't D-League Mad Ants-type players that the Pacers threw out there. So that was a good sign.
the explosiveness offensively wasn't quite there, and the jump shot is not there at all right now. He's a, I think that that might be a conditioning thing as well. He threw up a step back three pointer that missed horribly off the back of the iron, and he missed pretty much all of his shots outside the lane. That's going to be a problem with him kind of as we go forward, you know, pretty much ultimately as well. But the Pistons need him to be coming strong around the corner on that pick and roll with Andre Drummond. They need him to be playing in transition, and they need him to be able to move laterally defensively. And those are the things that they're going to test his knee. We'll see how that goes. But like I said, good signs all around. He was crafty around the basket like we've come to expect. So a pretty good night for Reggie Jackson. If you're a Pistons fan, he's probably the most important player in the preseason as far as analyzing how he looks health-wise, conditioning-wise. I can't imagine that the Pistons are going to be asking him to play a lot of minutes early on in the season. He'll start, he'll probably be under 30 minutes for most of the beginning parts of the season. With Ish Smith playing as well as he did last year, that's not necessarily a bad thing. Langston Galloway will be handling the ball a little bit as well, you got to believe. But Reggie's kind of he's the leader of this team. He's the emotional center of this team. He's, you know, a guy that can really sink or swim your basketball team based on how he's playing. If we get the Reggie from 2 years ago, I have full confidence that this will be a playoff team. If it's more like last year's Reggie, you might be looking at some wholesale changes coming to this roster and front office and management going forward. He's just that important to this team. So good signs from Reggie. I can't believe that Stan Van Gundy's considering playing him on back-to-back games in the preseason, but he said apparently after the game that the plan as of now is to get him back out there and maybe sit Avery Bradley once again. Man, if I were Van Gundy, I'd throw Beno Udrih out at point guard on Tuesday night. Or anyone, really. Bring back Lindsey Hunter and put him out there. Who cares? It's the preseason. It's back-to-back. I mean, they're not even really playing Reggie Jackson when they're doing two-a-day practices right now. Why would they really consider to push that knee? So that's another story for another day, and we'll see how Stan kind of handles that going forward. But, again, definitely not an A-plus for Reggie Jackson tonight, but, you know, certainly better than a D. We'll give him a B minus for argument's sake, but some positive signs are there. He looks like he's got more confidence. He's kind of got a little bit of that swagger back that he didn't have last year, which he struggled so much through and had his own problems in the locker room as well. But, you know, good signs from him. We'll hopefully get Andre Drummond back. That's kind of the key, is that if they can get this whole group of regular rotation players together and playing possibly on Friday night against Milwaukee, that'd be a good thing to get the regulars out there, to get Lure in his new backup center position with some of the guys that he'll be playing with on that front court, get Harris back in the lineup, see what Bradley and Jackson look like together, see what Stanley Johnson's role with the regulars and the starters would be going forward. So a lot of unanswered questions for the Pistons, and we'll see how they handle those through these last two preseason games. But again, Reggie's back. He looks okay. And we'll see how his knee develops going forward. All right. And to close the show today, I wanted to talk a little bit about a cause out there that an NBA legend is pushing that is kind of near and dear to my heart as well. The Virgin Islands, the U.S. Virgin Islands, got hit by two Category 5 hurricanes in the span of a couple weeks. Last month with Irma and Maria hitting the islands. I lived on St. Thomas for nearly 3 years up to last year. Lived there and worked as the sports editor for the Virgin Islands Daily News. It's a great place. I know many of you have probably been down there on vacation or have had cruise ships stop there, but it is, like I said, it is part of the United States. It's a U.S. territory just like Puerto Rico is. Puerto Rico obviously has been in the news. They got hit hard by Hurricane Maria as well, and you should contribute to all those causes as well. But with Puerto Rico kind of taking center stage and turning to obviously the politics that go into the story there as well, the USVI has maybe gotten lost a little bit. But Tim Duncan, of the former San Antonio Spurs legend, he's from St. Croix, which is one of the three main United States Virgin Islands islands down there. And so when St. Thomas got hit first by Hurricane Irma, it devastated St. Thomas and St. John as well. The islands, the pictures that I've seen, the stories that I've heard were really bad right after the event took place. But as time goes on, there's just a lot of need down there for rebuilding, for supplies, for food, for everything you can imagine. And Timmy took it upon himself to start a fundraiser drive and flew down to St. Thomas a couple weeks ago with a bunch of supplies, with a bunch of food, and really used that money in a good way to do that. And also this week, he's down in St. Croix, which got hit hard by Hurricane Maria, devastating that island after, you know, St. Croix sent a bunch of their food and supplies up to St. Thomas after the first hurricane hit, and then they were left without a lot of stuff when they got hit a couple weeks later. So it's really been a calamity for them to have to deal with. I feel bad for all my friends who are still down there, my former coworkers, everyone. So anyway, Tim Duncan's fundraising drive continues, and I know my good friend Rashidi Clements is running the show with a lot of that stuff. Like I said, Tim's made personal trips from San Antonio to both of the main islands to deliver a lot of this stuff. I know he was on St. John as well when he went down to St. Thomas. He's got a page, and it's the pinned tweet on my my Twitter role there. It has a link to a YouCaring site that Tim Duncan's people set up. It's called the 21 U.S. Virgin Island Relief Fund. It's raised over $2.6 million so far, and I know some friends and family of mine who have donated as well as me. I've picked out, you know, 5-10 different, probably about 8 or so different causes and thrown some money to each of them in different personal sites for friends of mine, some of these bigger ones. And the Community Foundation of the U.S. Virgin Islands is another group down there that that funds a lot of the nonprofits, and they do great work too. So if there's other fundraisers that are tied into the Community Foundation of the Virgin Islands, I support those as well. But like I said, there's a YouCaring site called the 21 U.S. Virgin Islands Relief Fund. Milton Newton, who's from St. Thomas, is now an assistant general manager for the Milwaukee Bucks. He's the former general manager of the Minnesota Timberwolves. He won a national championship for Larry Brown at Kansas. He's got a drive that diverts funds to the Community Foundation of the Virgin Islands as well. So I implore you guys to consider donating to these causes. Puerto Rico just put in for a big multi-billion dollar package through the U.S. Congress, but I feel like maybe the USVI is kind of getting lost in the shuffle, and I guarantee you that they need the help and need the publicity as well. So consider donating to that as you watch CNN and realize all the devastation that has gone on in the Caribbean over these this hurricane season. So, and to the people in the VI, if you ever get around to hearing this, when cell service, when internet service returns, you've been in my thoughts, and we're hoping that the next time I come down there, which hopefully is sometime soon to visit, that things will be a little bit more normal, and we can celebrate the return of the Virgin Islands. So again, this is Matt Shook for the Lockdown Pistons podcast. I want to thank you guys for indulging me with that there. And we'll talk to you guys tomorrow about the game in Toronto, the fourth preseason game. We're getting close, just about over a week until game time. Detroit basketball! Well, thanks for listening to the Lockdown Pistons podcast, everyone.
Napa know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.